the Barbie movie is setting box office records for Warner Brothers with the highest grossing opening weekend of 2023. The film takes place in the imaginary world of Barbie Land, where a wide range of live-action Barbie and Ken dolls live, including this version, played by actress Kate McKinnon.
Hello? Humans. We're fine. Come into my weird house. Hi. I'm Weird Barbie. I am in the splits. I have a funky haircut and I smell like basement.
Oh my God, I had a weird Barbie.
Yeah, you did.
You make them weird by playing too hard.
It's cool.
Weird or not, Barbie has a long history in American culture as a beloved childhood toy and as a controversial image of American womanhood. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen the Barbie movie yet? What did you think? Even if you didn't, what do you think about Barbie as a piece of American culture? Did you grow up with Barbie? What do you remember? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Christine Whelan is a clinical professor of consumer science in the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. She's the author of several books on happiness and finding purpose in life, and she's the director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. Christine, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I understand you've seen the movie already. What did you think? Spoiler free.
Spoiler free, I can tell you it's wonderful. Even though it's about Barbies, it's not a kids' movie. Certainly appropriate for parents to bring their kids to the movies, but the parents are really going to get a lot more of the jokes and the cultural implications that the movie is trying to raise.
Barbie has been celebrated in some ways over the decades, criticized, and we'll get into that over the decades as well. How did the movie work with that?
So Barbie is kind of a litmus test for all of us. You either love her or you hate her. And what was great about the movie was that it sort of took it head on. And it sort of went at all of the sort of stereotype ideas. In fact, we have stereotypical Barbie as the star of the movie. But then you've got weird Barbie. You've got every different type of Barbie represented, from the astronaut Barbie to the president Barbie. You have Barbies of all different shapes and sizes in this Barbie world. So the movie really is a wonderful kind of piece of consumerism for Mattel. It's one big advertisement in many ways. And yet it pokes fun at the whole Barbie brand. Is it a feminist movie? Is it a girly movie? Well, that's up to the people who are watching, much like it has always been up to the people who are playing with the dolls or interpreting the dolls in the media.
And that has always been there, as you say. I mean, we've got praise for Barbie for representing an independent woman at various stages who goes off in these careers at the time not always associated with the ones girls would go into. On the other hand, criticized as kind of a backward image of women and especially a potentially disturbing image when it comes to female body image. Can you talk about the back and forth over Barbie since the doll was created?
So Barbie was born in Willows, Wisconsin, according to Mattel. And with that kind of birth and origin story, the idea is that Barbie is every woman, that Barbie can come from Willows, Wisconsin, and then go on to have her Malibu beach house, and so can you. So there is an element of empowerment for women from the get-go. The Malibu beach house is owned by Barbie, not Barbie and Ken. It is Barbie's house. The idea that Barbie can wear all these different clothes and have all these different images. So that certainly is one of empowerment. At the same time, Barbie's bust to waist measurements are such that she would not be able to exist in the normal human world. She would quite literally topple over. Her neck is too long, her waist is too small, and her bust is too big. And yet, she also has this really notable feature, which is that she has these very arched feet, and she can't stand on her own 2 feet. So one of the major criticisms is, you know, how can this empowered woman really be empowered if she can't literally stand on her own 2 feet? But one of the things I've always thought about with Barbie is that that actually is not a design flaw, nor is it done only for fashion. I think that really is a way of having the girls and potentially boys who are playing with Barbie be part of the story and be co-creators of what Barbie does, because Barbie needs the humans to play with her so that she can be whatever it is that they want her to be as well.
Let's talk a little bit about why we talk about Barbie. I think if you said to somebody on the street, name a doll, there's a good chance Barbie would be among the first they'd name. How big a part of American culture is Barbie?
Barbie came out in 1959 and has been an absolutely huge part of American culture, in part because the price point is reasonable for most American families to afford, and in part because of the size of the doll, very portable, lots of accessories. And then I have to say, a lot of the criticism around it really brought Barbie into sort of the academic forefront. We love to hate Barbie. And so as she became a feminist lightning rod, then she got more press. So Mattel has continued to produce Barbie, more and more different types of Barbie. And that really has followed our consumer culture and our ideas of social norms. So for example, you know, you have different body sizes of Barbie coming out. About 10 or so years ago, you had curvy Barbie come out. And while that was an attempt at more body positivity with Barbie, it turns out that curvy Barbie is only a woman's size 6, which is not exactly inclusive of what most of us would call curvy. And yet there is this idea that as the culture changes, Barbie wants to grow with it.
Talking to Christine Whelan from the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, looking at Barbie. The new movie, pretty big hit right now, a big history in American culture for Barbie spanning the decades. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the doll, the movie, the conversations about the doll and the movie. Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Yordis is with us in Colfax. Yordis, hi.
Hi. I had a lot of Barbies. My sister and I used to play with them, and we liked the Skippers, which was Barbie's sister, I believe. She had a different shape. She didn't have that big chest and a teeny waist. And we, as kids, we really disliked the Barbies for that shape. It was offensive to us, even as children. It's kind of funny. I've talked to my sister about it, and we've laughed about it. And so I sort of became the Skipper, and I named it Buffy St. Marie. And my sister became another Skipper, and she was Dodie, a genius. And the Barbies were sort of ancillary people that we just made all these stories around. And then we had an Allen doll that we didn't like, and we called him Ken. We called him Alan Winters, and we made him kind of a jerk. And it was so, I don't know why, but it wasn't like, I guess the Barbies didn't look like our mom or our older sisters, or it just seemed like sort of uncomfortable for us, even as children. It's just something that I remember.
Really interesting, Yordis. Thanks a lot for sharing that. And Christine, I think this speaks to a big point here. You could put whatever doll in a kid's hands you want. They're going to start creating something different with it. You don't know what it's going to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is why a lot of therapists still use Barbies and Skippers and other dolls in therapy, because as we watch kids play, we're watching their creative process. We're watching kids work out various ideas. And so with Barbie, some of the concerns are that, you know, if this is the ideal woman image, then are we in fact setting a sort of subtle standard of a very sort of heteronormative, affluent, white standard of beauty that is not attainable for a lot of people, that might not even be healthy for a lot of people. And so there's, you know, whenever you have a doll that is an image of a human in a form that somebody could sort of aspire to, it's going to be a lightning rod, but also you're going to have women and girls who say, no, my mom doesn't look like this. This is weird. I, in fact, want to be this other kind of doll. And that is a really important cultural choice as well. And that sort of speaks to a child's evolution of sort of prioritizing her family and her family's norms over some external societal norms. So yeah, these dolls play an outsized role.
Yordis, thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to Christine Whelan from the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, looking at Barbie, the Barbie movie and the role of the doll in American popular culture. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Did you grow up with Barbie? Did you reconceive the Barbie extended universe in your own way? How did you play with Barbie and friends? Do you have Barbie dolls for your own kids now? What are they doing with them? Have you checked out the movie? Are you planning to? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Barbie with Christine Whelan, clinical professor of consumer science in the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. We're checking out the success of the Barbie movie and the role of Barbie in popular culture. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this part of your childhood, your child's childhood? Have you seen the movie? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Elizabeth is with us in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi there. I played with Barbies. I'm almost 65. And I remember playing with Barbies where we could change the hairstyles of the Barbies by popping the heads off. So you could prop different heads on the Barbie. So that was kind of unique back then. And then as I grew older and obtained my teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing degree, I got a Barbie who was African-American Barbie, who was a teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing. And she even had a chalkboard or a kind of a board with different sign language signs on it. So just thought I'd let you know.
That. And you used that Barbie as part of your instruction, Elizabeth, is that right?
I did. The kids loved that Barbie. Yeah, because, you know, they could relate to her because she did a I love you sign with one of her hands, the specific sign that you see all over the place now. Yeah, so that was kind of fun. And then, of course, it was fun back in the day, popping the heads off the Barbies and putting on different hairstyles.
Elizabeth, basically. Thank you so much. Two very different uses. Christine, what do you think?
So one of the sort of criticisms I always had over the years of all of the different outfits that Barbie wore was that I, as a child, remember playing with Barbie, and we would take the outfits off of her and pop her heads off and do all sorts of things. And, you know, we take her in the bathtub and cut her hair or put makeup on her. And that, in the movie, is Kate McKinnon's character of Weird Barbie, because this really was a thing, and is, I'm sure, today, that kids do with dolls. It's this sort of exploration, things that we can't do to ourselves and we can't do in our real life, we experiment on with the dolls. So the idea of popping heads off Barbies is something that I think a lot of us will sort of laugh about as part of our Barbie childhood. And then the other part is, you know, this idea of, am I represented in the Barbie that I see? And we've seen this with many different other kinds of dolls, from Cabbage Patch Kid dolls to the American Girl dolls. The idea of being represented is really important for kids, especially if they have differing abilities, if they have a particular way that they identify. So what we've seen in the Barbie world is more and more of these Barbies trying to make sure that every child sees themselves in Barbie. And that certainly came through loud and clear in the Barbie movie. Now, the thing that we cannot forget amidst all of this is that this is a consumer product. This is a thing. Barbie is a toy. And so the popularity of Barbie is this really interesting mix of consumerism and potentially a sort of optimism, individualism, hope for the future. But at core, we're really talking about getting parents to buy toys for their kids.
Thanks for that call. Jane is with us now on the road headed toward Madison. Jane, hi.
Hi. The one thing that I've noticed is the difference in Barbie over the years is back in the early 60s, when I got a Barbie, you collected clothes for her and you created a world for her. And you maybe collected her friends and your mother would make clothes for her and all that. And then all of a sudden, Mattel got into selling a gazillion different Barbies. You had to have Winter Wonderland Barbie and this Barbie, and it was more a collector thing, not a use your imagination and play with the dumb. Now you had 30 or 40 different ones.
Jade, I got you. Your connection is not awesome, but Christine, I think Jade's backing up your point about this is a consumer product with the goal of getting us to buy more of the stuff, whether it's the clothes and accessories or different incarnations of Barbie.
Indeed it is. And when Mattel launched Curvy Barbie, they had a little bit of a problem because original Barbie's clothes did not fit on Curvy Barbie. And that made Curvy Barbie sort of a less attractive purchase for some families because they'd have to buy a whole new set of clothes for that doll. So the so certainly the idea of collecting Barbies is important. Then there's also the idea of all the accoutrements that go along with Barbie. So the dream house and the convertible and all of the things that go with Barbie. However, I can tell you, at least from my own children's experience, that when they play with Barbie, they also play with Barbie with that Amazon box that they've decorated themselves and turn into a particular Barbie land. So yes, there's more consumerism around it, but that is one of the benefits of dolls. There is still a whole lot of creativity in the play that children engage in with dolls.
Thanks for that call, Jane. We're talking to Christine Whelan from the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology about Barbie, the doll, the movie, the legend, the big part of American popular culture. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jennifer is with us now in Madison. Jennifer, hi.
Hi. I can't argue with all the complaints that people have made against Barbie. You know, she's not this enough, she's not that enough, whatever. But for somebody my age, when Barbie came out and we were little girls, it was a life changer. Up until that point, you only could play with baby dolls. You could only imagine being a mom, and that was it. That was your life. Barbie allowed little girls to think about being independent, professional, having their own place to live, all of those great things. She was a fantastic role model for girls in that era, in the 50s and early 60s. I don't think she gets enough credit for that.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for the call. And I think this comes up in the movie, Christine.
It absolutely does. And Jennifer, thank you so much for that comment, because really in our through our present lens, we often don't see that sort of wide swath of history here with Barbie and what a sort of norm shatterer she really was in her time. What I loved about the Barbie movie was that it really now then tries to shatter a new norm, which is that a woman then has to be an astronaut or a doctor or president to be considered a full and successful woman. And what the message of the Barbie movie was, it's enough to just be yourself. And then we also have the message of, you know, have we then marginalized men in terms of our discussion about all the wonderful things that women can do? And then there's just Ken. And so this is what I really liked about the movie, was that I think it kind of pulls to some of those points that Jennifer was making about what Barbie was originally, was somebody who was trying to shatter conventional wisdom. And perhaps with this movie, there is some similar issues being raised, but ones that are really relevant in 2023.
Thanks a lot for that call. Becky joins us next in Hudson. Becky, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to make the comment. I grew up in the 70s playing with Barbies. Barbie was awesome. And yeah, we sort of poo-pooed her body type and everything, but I just feel like if Barbie in this movie is getting us to talk about what women are capable of and how women are marginalized, then Barbie's an awesome thing. When I first heard of the movie, I thought, no way, I'm not going to go see that. But the more I hear about it, the more I think, absolutely, that sounds like fun.
Becky, thanks for the call. Christine, the role of Barbie as a conversation starter.
I went into Von Maur yesterday to go shopping for my kids, and there was a whole Barbie section, not just with Barbie dolls, but with all of the women's clothing in that Barbie pink. And this is the thing about the Barbie brand, is we know that color pink. We know what that means. And I think it's kind of a really wonderful extravagant, fun, and really kind of joyful expression of femininity in a powerful, but also a sort of way that doesn't take itself too seriously. The other piece that I really enjoyed about the movie was it wasn't just about girl power. It was about people power and not marginalizing any group. And so that really came through loud and clear. And if Barbie can be that for the next generation, well, that would be very interesting.
Thanks for that call. And in just our last minute, Christine, I don't think Barbie ever went away, but do you think this movie is going to herald a big comeback, a resurgence of Barbie for that next generation?
Mattel certainly hopes so, because this was a very long infomercial for the future of Barbie. But we shall see. But Barbie is certainly not hurting in terms of its sales right now. And as we move forward, if anything that we can do right now to help children engage their imaginations, play, get off screens, and create their own worlds, if Barbie can be part of that, I'm all for it.
Christine, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, as always.
That's Christine Whelan, clinical professor of consumer science in the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. She's the author of several books on happiness and finding purpose in life. And she's the director of the Money, Relationships, and Equality Initiative. She was with us today to talk about how we look at Barbie dolls in popular culture after the box office success ongoing of the new Barbie movie.